Okay, just to, I guess, sum up where we were last time, and we were trying to shift gears to stage two. And again, the first stage was really about internalizing the idea that Hashem is the creator, and we are the creations. Once that's been internalized, slash while we're internalizing, but maybe needing a little bit of a change of pace, the next step is the realization that Hashem is here, right? Because just the understanding and the belief and the appreciation that Hashem is the creator is not necessarily synonymous with, you know, Hashem is here with me all the time in this room, wherever I am. So that's the Ki Ata Imadi, as we say in the Pasuk, right? Gam ki yelech b'geit samavos lo yirara. I'm not going to fear any bad. Ki ata imadi. So when we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, so it's going to change everything that we are doing. But it's not an easy thing to necessarily be able to feel. Knowing it and feeling it and internalizing it are two separate points. So I think we kind of got through it. I started a little bit earlier on this page. I think we got through the first two pages over here, which is basically the same idea of using the same system that he's been suggesting of even being willing to talk to ourselves and taking times to recharge and remind it, you know, taking a more serious minute or two to contemplate and to think, you know, what does it mean that Hashem is with me? And then to recharge that thought throughout the day. Now, in terms of exercises, in terms of helping with that, so I think we're on Peiches. The third page into it, in the middle over here, Hisbonenus al yedei mishalim, using, you know, other examples in terms of concretizing our thoughts and using other things that we could either imagine or experience in order to deepen that appreciation. Okay, so I think that's where we're gonna pick up.
Hisbonenus al yedei mishalim. So we're going to be using different examples, different mishalim, to explain a little bit more of the idea of what we're talking about. Kedei lekarves advarim el sechlenu, so that we can understand it more. Nedamien, we're going to imagine. Let's menu shekeis haya nimtzakan bebayitzem Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom. So let's imagine for a minute that who of all people sitting next to me in my house, in my dining room, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Lepeta roemos anu oso merim yad. Suddenly we see him, he's sitting right at my dining room table, and he picks up his hand. Umeitnuas hayad near esh shehulo chetz yad lemishehu. We see that he's reaching out his hand and he's holding on to somebody. Anachnu mabitim yamina usmola velorim af adam. We're looking around, right? Who's Moshe? Whose hand is he shaking? Shalim et Moshe Rabbeinu lemin asata yad. Who did you stretch out your hand to? Vehu oneh b'pashtos l'Eliyahu Navi. And he says, "I'm holding Eliyahu Navi's hand." Okay, I thought this was like a little bit of a funny example, but we'll go along. I think he just keeps trying to illustrate. I mean, the way my mind works, like how I always explain things to myself, is like, oh, so that's like as if I was doing, you know, like always through examples. So I understand where he's going. Im hadvarim hayu yotzim me perush mi pi Moshe Rabbeinu. If Moshe was saying that he's holding Eliyahu HaNavi's hand, everybody in this room, right? If you had this chus of having Moshe in your house telling you he's holding Eliyahu in his hand, everybody would believe him that Eliyahu is here. Even we can't see him. Im stam adam hayamar kach, right? If I don't know. If you walked in to the room and said, "I'm holding Eliyahu Navi's hand," I would send him for a psych eval. Nitan vatel estvarav lachshov shehu ba demionos. We would think that he's imagining things. Aval Moshe Rabbeinu, harehu ba madriga gvoa yosem Eliyahu Navi. He, Moshe, the reason we believe Moshe Rabbeinu, we can't think of anybody greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, but he's on a higher level than even than Eliyahu Navi. If there's a shadow of a doubt, of course Moshe can see Eliyahu HaNavi. He's greater than it. Are we doubting him? So everybody, I think, if Moshe was sitting here and telling you he's you know, holding Eliyahu's hand, everybody would believe him. Emunazu. It's not simply intellectual. Ella gam hanefesh haisa mamina bevadaus shaliyahu navikan. We would believe really from the. We wouldn't just believe in our minds. We would believe it from the depths of our soul. We would just believe it that Eliyahu Navi was there. We wouldn't say like we don't see him. Where is he? We would just believe him. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu amarkach vaday shezoi hametzias. If because Moshe said, of course that he's there. And he didn't just say it that he's there. We believe him that he's there. We see in a physical way. We can imagine right in our mind's eye Moshe. Not just we can imagine him holding Eliyahu Navi's hand, even though we can't see Eliyahu, right?
Right, meaning that's it's not just, even within the example, if we believe Moshe Rabbeinu, even beyond the belief, we see that he's shaking his hand.
Right.
So again, it's a deeper understanding, again, it's all within the mashal, but it's right. A deeper understanding than just something which is simply intellectual, because we see Moshe Rabbeinu, who we're not going to question, that he's acting upon it. So it when somebody's not just giving us information, but acting upon it, so it deepens the impact that it has on us.
Okay.
All right, so Adkan HaMashal.
Yeah.
So that's the Mashal. What's he trying to get at with this example? He says, V'imkachu b'inyan Eliyahu HaNavi. So if all this would be true with Eliyahu HaNavi, with Moshe Rabbeinu telling you that Eliyahu HaNavi does it, again, all this is just, you know, for our purposes, imaginary, but, again, a model that we could in theory understand. Yavin ha'adam, so a person should realize ki amuna shakarash baruch hu nimtzakan pshuto brur yosem amuna b'kach shel Eliyahu HaNavi nimtzakan. The fact and the belief that Hashem is with us should be even more real than Eliyahu HaNavi being here. Meaning, if you parallel the mashal, so instead of having to imagine that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that Eliyahu is here, we know that Chazal have told us that Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, right? Less asar the whatever he said before, right? There's no place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is not there. So if we parallel the mashal, so if we know and we believe the words of Chazal, and they're actually telling us that Hashem is everywhere, and we understand that it has to be true that Hashem can't be seen because by definition He doesn't have any physical form. So, in theory, it should be easier for us to understand that Hashem is here than Moshe Rabbeinu giving us that information. That's what he's trying to get out the mashal. Now, obviously, since we didn't experience the mashal, we're right. Still missing the fact that you know, we don't see him, and therefore it's hard for us to imagine. But again, if we can use mishalim, and then that's what he says next. Like, adam tzarech lekachas la'atzmo mishalim. You should try and make for yourselves whatever examples are necessary. Umikocham nagi lahakara shehribono shalom v'adai nimtzakam. Whatever you know, imagery you can come up with in your own mind.
I think of it as like in a science class, they tell you they're, you know, atoms and this reaction and the electrons are flying around and like you think I ever it, right? Believe them? Like I mean you have to believe that right. They say everybody
you
in the world said right. I don't know. But no. Everybody in the world says that, you know, the atoms, the minerals and the, you know, periodic table of elements and they have these kind of and you can't see anything, but we just sort of we accept it, we believe it, and we know right. It's there, we know everything in the world. So
yeah.
All the more so
Right. Any
They want microscopes that can see them.
That's why. That's how they know it's because science, science is like that.
But no, there are some things that they can't see. They can't see like the quarks and the this and the and they can't see certain forces. No, there are certain things that like now the cutting edge physics, like they say because of this and this, and we saw this reaction.
Right. Within all the quantum things, there's
the rules, the laws, like.
I mean, whatever. I just, that's the kind of, I imagine, like, we accept it.
Correct.
You know, right.
Exactly. Like, right. Like gravity is like, we experience it, but we experience Hashem also.
More like, if we look and see what scientists have seen about how the world functions, that we can't see by our physical eyes what's happening in that atom. But we know that in that atom is the nucleus, protons, neutrons, you know, there's an exchange, you know, our kids were learning ionic bonds and all of these things that, you know, we haven't studied in many years, that we know that all of this is happening and it's so beyond us, we can't see it. And we know that it's like a miracle, you know, a baby's born. Like, if we are constant, if we can internalize, when he's saying, like,
right, so that's what I kept thinking.
It's
right.
Like, how amazing and magnificent the world is. And then use whatever imagery is necessary for us.
Correct.
My point was a little different.
Right, that's what he was saying at the beginning. Right. All those things are very good in terms of realizing that there was a creator. That's not necessarily going to strengthen this particular point that Hashem is here with me in the room right now. Right. You can extrapolate from it, but it's not the exact same point. What you're saying is essential for the general knowledge that how could anybody deny the existence of a God, of a creator? How could this happen on its own? It doesn't necessarily, again, I'm not...
You're saying that that's a creator, that's and a creator versus now. A sustainer.
Right? It could be, again, one could claim at that point that this is what he put in motion.
Right.
And then once he put in motion, it happens on its own. There's no hashkacha pratis, there's no...
Right.
Active involved. Again, I'm not saying this is,
right.
But I'm just the point is that they're right. Those types of mashalim are an unbelievable way of really being of strengthening what we call phase one of a realization of anything that we can zero in on and being that there is a creator. You know, science, and again, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago.
Right. No, my point was like more like if I take it and I accept
it. We accept things that we don't necessarily see. We're relying on other people. We have no idea. The scientists could all be lying to us. We can't see what they're seeing, even if they're seeing it. So the end, it's not that much different than if we imagine that Moshe Rabbeinu, who we're going to believe everything that he says, and again, and certainly more than that, Chazal, who are telling us something as fact. So how could we not accept at least as much what Chazal are telling us, even though we can't see that Hashem is with us right now when I'm driving in the car, I am fully in His presence, even though I can't see it, so why would we believe that and internalize that any less than any piece of science, which, okay, a scientist may have seen, but we didn't ask to see it in order to believe it. So we are willing to internalize it. Again, he'll bring more examples, but... Yeah.
Just the only argument against that is that a scientist, if you so desire, you can go to them and say, show me. And they will show it to you.
They show you. It's there.
But
that's fine.
Chazal cannot show you.
That's true. Again,
right?
Nothing so you're 100% right. Nothing that he's saying, and again, he said this in the opening, nothing that he is saying in this book will prove to you that there is a God. What he is trying to do is that if you believe that there is a God, but it's only on an intellectual level, and you haven't internalized the experience, he's telling you how to internalize the experience.
And how to connect
if a person is willing to, on blind faith, live a life based on the fact that these atoms exist and willing to not see it, then that same person should be willing at least to accept what Chazal said. You're 100% right.
Right.
Nothing that he says in here is a proof of God's existence. And that's not what he's attempting. Okay, that's because you've internalized it. But look around at those very same scientists, and their egos are blinding them, and not all of them, but plenty of them, to deny the existence of God. That the scientists who, on the most deep level, appreciate what's going on in physics, can deny the existence of God is nothing short of tremendous hubris. They're just Bali Gaiva. But if you can, or somebody can walk away from this with a strength in the Amunah and not even understand where they're coming from, that's great.
I guess my point for before, which maybe I got sidetracked, is that whatever imagery that each one of us needs to carry us through, that's the imagery. So for me, and this is where I was saying a couple of weeks ago, like women getting together and like having a chibur, not just reading this from an intellectual perspective, but really trying to share so we can have it in our hearts, is that if we, for me, it's like having that an understanding that, you know, Tati, my father's in heaven and father's watching over me constantly. And I know that Hashem wants the best for me. And when things happen for me, there's a reason. You know what? My life is going this trajectory, and for some reason, I needed this. Thank you, Hashem. It was very painful. It's very hard to say thank you. It's something we're learning on our Kabbalah. And it's something that we, you know, you have. It's a very difficult thing to work on, but it's constant working on it.
That's all true. That's all true. And again, and certainly whatever anybody can use to be strengthen their relationship with Hashem, you know, she should use. His point there is a very, very specific one. He is trying to help us internalize one particular aspect of our connection to Hashem. And that is
a feeling that he's here with us.
That may come as part of everything else that you've worked on or anybody else has worked on in terms of general hashgacha pratis and things like that. His system, which he thinks is you know, ideal, again, for somebody who needs guidance. If somebody doesn't need the guidance and is there already, it's even better. But his point is to try and help us, specifically this one point of feeling that no matter where I am, Hashem is with me. This is the what he's trying to strengthen right now. So he continues and he says, So nitano dugma davar, another example, and then this one's going to take it one step further. Adam yoshev becheder samach lakir shakua betamudo. Somebody is sitting in his room next to his busy learning im kiseu stender, with his chair and his stender. And again, it has no. That's a nice example. It could just as easily be
somebody studying.
It could be somebody watching TV. It doesn't matter. Meaning you're immersed in something. In terms of the mashal, you can imagine a person who's fully immersed in what they're doing. What happens? Lefeta ba misha, suddenly somebody comes me'achor behind him, v'nechas yadok seifa, and puts his hand on your shoulder. So kishechash es hanagia hu nirad l'rega. So you're startled, because you were so, you know, in ensconced in what you're doing and focused, you didn't even notice. So omer l'chaver o'nechlas, he says, lo shamati shenichnasta, I didn't hear you come in. He was so involved that he couldn't hear that somebody else came into the room. So what do you see from this? What do you see? What do you learn from this example? It's possible that somebody could be walking around your room. You're sitting there and you're learning, you're cooking, you're watching TV, you're reading, studying, whatever you are doing with full concentration. Yeah, you could be having a conversation with somebody, but again, there maybe you could say the noise is distracting. But you're fully involved in what you are doing and focused on what you are doing with a singular task, and somebody could be walking around the room. The person could even start talking, and you could be, again, I don't know, I've definitely tried to speak to my children who are busy doing something. There's no response. And again, I don't, sometimes it's chutzpah, but usually it's not. So the initial one, I didn't hear you. What do you mean I didn't hear you? How could not hear? So if you're concentrating on something, you don't always hear. Why? I didn't hear anything. How's that possible?
They always hear when it's like dessert time.
Right.
Or their name. Usually that's what he spoke about earlier.
Right.
That's what he spoke about earlier, that a person recognizes his name.
Right.
But it's a different point. Why not? Why didn't this work? Because your mind was fully concentrating on something else. And therefore, so the sense of hearing,
it was dulled.
Right. So if you sort of think about these types of mishalim, Adam choshev al mishalim, you think of these types of examples, then you turn to Hashem and say, "Barely, it's clear to me, right? I know that I can't see you, I can't feel you, I can't sense you with any of my five physical senses. I believe that you are here. And I want to deepen that belief. Ulahargish shatani tzav yadi. I want to feel your presence. Gam ki yelech begeitz amavas lo yara. Why is a person who's walking in the shadow of the valley of death, why is he not afraid? Lama ki atah imadi. That's what the pasuk is saying. Sometimes we say the pasuk without thinking about them, but it's ki atah imadi, when you know that Hashem is with you, so it removes so much of the fear. Hulokeach asanakuda hazov v'chozer la b'milim shitas, and you go over it again and again. Pan v'od pamim, od mashal v'od mashal, and whatever mashal a person needs to be able to internalize this idea that Hashem is there. V'omer l'bano shalom, and he says to Hashem, ani lo margish, I don't feel your presence. Aval ani odeya shatan himsa, but I know, I believe it. Intellectually, I believe you are with me, but I don't feel it. And if a person feels it, so a person acts differently, right? You don't act the same way if you're in the presence of, again, sometimes anybody, certainly somebody that you respect, and certainly somebody like a Moshe Rabbeinu. K'moshe yadua li shebechalal hacheder mistovvim chay dokim, af shenein ro margish osari borosh lam rotzani lehargish atonim tzol yadi. Here he goes, takes it in a slightly different direction. But he says, just like we believe, right? We believe that there are millions or billions or whatever it is of bacteria in the air here, right? And we don't see it, but we're confident that it's there, right? When the person is coughing on the other side of the table and the flu is going around, we don't say like, well, there's no way that it's going to get from over there to over here. So like, I have nothing to worry about. You know, we believe it. We act upon it. And some people even feel, they started coughing and wheezing and, because, you can, it incubates in a matter of, four seconds. But we
internalized
that idea. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
They've ruminated over that.
Right.
Yeah.
Adam Kamba Boker, so somebody wakes in the morning, Holech le Tachanat Zahos bus, he goes to the bus stop, Umisyashe Batachan, and he's stopping there. Hu Choshev B'machshav To, he's thinking, if there's nobody there, he can talk to himself quietly.
I think you pointed out also that nowadays you could talk to yourself anyway.
Right.
You stick something in your ear and you can do anything you want.
Yeah, everybody's always talking to themselves. Ribono Shalom, ani nimtza levad, am I alone? Osha ta nimtza iti, or are you with me? Misho ro'eh, masha ne'oseh shav, olo. Is there somebody who's watching me or not? Ribono shalom, ani lo levad. I'm not alone. Ata nimza iti ve'ata ro'eh masha ne'oseh. And you see what I'm doing. So I think, I feel like this point, until we got to this point, I was starting to get like a little frustrated. I said like, oh, it's wonderful that we know, we did all the exercises. We know that there's a creator. And it's wonderful that we can say Hashem is with us all the time. And I believe that. But I was kind of getting to the point where we were reading this last night. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, what is he? But I think this is probably, like, for me, this was the most important point. Okay, so if we believe Hashem is with us all the time, then we act differently. Like, it's natural. Mm-hmm. So this is what he's saying. If Hashem is with us, we obviously act differently. I hold myself in a different way. I talk nicer, I act nicer. I'm not gonna get upset at somebody so quickly. So it's definitely, for me, this was a big paragraph. Okay.
I've never been told, just because I was told that when one passes, one dies, that they're shown a movie of their life. And not only
something along those lines.
Movie, every soul is shown the movie.
So that's not so clear. I don't know if that's 100% clear in terms of original sources.
And then, let's say wherever our potential is, here.
Yeah.
And we came close to the mark. We feel good. If our potential is here and we didn't get there, we feel like a busha.
Right.
So, again, things to think about. I just feel like sometimes I don't want to be undermined. Like, I feel like the things that I hold in my mind is what I aspire towards. Is listening to Rebbetzin Heller, Rebbetzin Cohn, studying with her for 20 plus years. Like, it's just all these people that Rebbetzin Cohn, she's in like 50 plus schools teaching, teaching teachers how to teach Emunah. All my teachers, Rabbi Kellerman, like all of these things and are just bits and pieces from everybody.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Busted.
I don't know. Just yeah.
Right. I think I don't. There were two other things that I was thinking about in terms of this. First is, and you know, it could be, you know, Hashem didn't have to create the world with bacteria and things like that that we couldn't see. And it could be that maybe the reason that he created in such a way was specifically to give us the mashal.
That's what I think.
Meaning to help us be able to understand and appreciate there are things that exist that can't be seen, but we believe them. He created in such a way that we have that ability.
Help us understand.
Right. If we can already understand it in that way, then, you know, why can we not understand it when it comes to his existence? So the answer to that is what he said earlier. The answer to that generally is because, you know, like the Kutzker said, you know, where is Hashem? He's wherever you let him in. And what that means is that, you know, oftentimes when, if we don't feel his presence, it's because consciously or subconsciously we don't want to feel his presence.
Right.
Because
right.
You can't possibly act the same way if you appreciate that you're in his presence. It's much more comfortable.
Right, it's like, for example, somebody falls down, it's like, uh-oh, like,
right,
is anybody
exactly.
looking?
It's much more, yeah. It's much more comfortable to you know, to leave him at the door, and, you know, I'll see you later when I'm ready. So we can appreciate that he's you know, everywhere, but it requires a tremendous amount of humility to be able to try and live that way. And again, everybody's going to slip up. Everybody sins and everybody makes mistakes and it's all normal. But the reason that what he said before and about the last time, the arrogance and this are opposites is because what prevents us from letting him in often is that we don't want it. We don't necessarily think that way.
For it, right.
But you have to. You got to make changes in your life. You have to make changes in your choice. You have to make changes in how you speak. You have to make changes in how you act. You have to. Everything, by definition, has to be different if I really feel his. If I really feel his presence, and I think again, I was thinking about this a little bit this morning. As the advantage to Tuesday morning driving carpool,
so you don't have to hear the kids.
Yeah, they don't talk. They're like
half
asleep. They're half asleep.
Asleep.
Yeah,
like
high school boys are back.
Exactly.
Yeah, the 10-minute ride, they're already back asleep.
Back.
So, you know, I think, you know, the ideas that he's saying in terms of feeling Hashem's presence is, you know, it's sort of hard for us to imagine. But the truth is that it's not. That it's not. Because I think, if we are honest with ourselves, we all have moments in which we do feel it. Whether it's, you know, a ne'ila on Yom Kippur, whether it's an appreciation when you're at, you know, your own child's milestones or simchas or something like that, whether it's you go to the kotel there's something on your mind and you pour it. There are moments where Hashem reveals his presence to us in a much more intense way. And it's those moments, and again...
But I think it's also when we're, often, when we're trying...
100%. It requires preparation. All those things. You could... A person can certainly... If he's, you know, not prepared to understand what going to the kotel is about, and, you know, without any knowledge, can go there and experience nothing. 100%. It's all about preparation. It's about a mindset. And we have those opportunities in theory, you know, on Shabbos and Yontif and other times to sort of recharge that. But there are moments that if we are honest with ourselves, where we have felt it. We have felt it. And again, and some people say, "Well, you can't live your whole life like Ne'ilah," and that's true in a certain sense. But this aspect of appreciating that you're in Hashem's presence, what he's suggesting is that you can. Now, chances are, I can't say from experience, I'm assuming that if you elevate the rest of the year, your Ne'ilah will then be on a different level also. So you'll still be able to say, you know, that you can. You're not gonna. You can't live Ne'ilah, you know, 365 days a year. But when he gives us, again, similar to this idea here of when he gives us these mashalim, these are also mashalim. These are times where he reveals himself more. Mm-hmm. And when he reveals himself more, what that's supposed to tell us is not that, oh wow, I should take advantage that he revealed himself now because later he's not going to be as accessible. No. He's as accessible, but it requires a little bit more effort. Sometimes he removes the coverings a little bit more and lets us taste a little bit of this of what it means to have that closeness. But when we use those mishalim as saying that this is something which is possible, but we have to really want it, and it requires a tremendous amount of you know, intellectual honesty and being honest with oneself. It doesn't require speaking to anybody else. You can talk to yourself at the bus stop.
Right.
You can talk to yourself in the car. None of them look weird anymore. But you have to be honest with oneself. And is that something that I really want? Am I willing to, you know? And again, it's gonna change how I act, and I will act differently if I know I'm standing in God's presence. But again, if we understand and appreciate that that's, you know, what a goal is, and how special those moments are, then it's a positive, and it can take us to a different plane. I don't know, that was carpool instead of karaoke. That was the carpool thoughts from this morning.
So then, don't we feel that all the mitzvahs that have given to us are enhancements to exactly what you're saying?
So they are, but he does point out, if you can just skip ahead for a second.
When I chose to cover my hair, this is years ago, I did cover my hair when I was supposed to cover, a lot came with that, because suddenly, I can't walk on the beach with what I used to wear, you know?
Right.
Suddenly, more thoughts come to you,
it's true.
I'm standing in front of God. I chose this because this is not easy.
Right. That's true. But the reason that came with all the other things was because you chose it.
Because I chose it.
Meaning, right. A person can go through. Right. He mentions this a little bit later on. Right. A person can be learning and get a tremendous amount of intellectual satisfaction for it, and it can have zero impact on the person. And a person can do mitzvot because that's what I know I'm supposed to do.
It has zero impact on a person. When you go through things,
I've seen it.
Eventually it has some.
I've seen it. I can tell you with my own two eyes, I've seen guys that I learned next to in the Beis Medrash,
okay,
who were there for hours every day,
right,
who went to JTS afterwards because they were only interested in the academic. It left. Again, it's horrible. And
right.
it was, and I saw it happening.
Right.
I was young, and I don't think I could have stopped it now either. Right. But it was very sad to see.
Doesn't mean they don't believe in God.
I didn't say they don't believe in God, but the Liman HaTorah didn't.
Sometimes they go, it's true. There were some for the intellectual.
Correct.
Aspect.
Correct. Right. Right. There are definitely places that focus.
Doesn't necessarily mean you don't feel God.
I didn't say you don't, but it's hard to say that the Limud HaTorah itself was pushing them in a good, leaving the positive effect. It definitely wasn't.
Right.
It wasn't an aliyah.
We can't just do Limud HaTorah. It's not just
correct.
Limud.
That's his point.
That's the point. It has
exactly.
To be,
I'm saying the reason that when you chose to do something, it came with other things. Whatever a person chooses to do is because again, it had that preparation and had that mindset that I want to do this
to keep
connect
going with it. It's not
correct.
One thing and
correct.
Then.
But that's it. The mitzvos are there as opportunities to deepen our relationship. But we can without taking the time to think about them, we can rob the mitzvos of those opportunities. Again, this... No, I'm going to do that out.
That's why we have the preparation for the mitzvos. And that, what he's really talking about is the preparation. It's all about
correct.
The preparation. It's we
correct.
Learn about Pesach 30 days beforehand. Why? Right?
Right. It's also to know what to do. But right
it's not
again,
knowing what to do. But there's a whole spiritual.
It's a different kind of preparation.
Yeah.
There are different kinds of preparation. Again, learning. Correct. But it's a mindset. It's a mindset. And if one has the mindset, but the mindset comes from things like this. Meaning, if you realize that Hashem is there, and I want to have a connection. So then your mitzvos will be different. But they're not by definition. A person can come to shul every single morning and feel very, very distant and feel alone.
I remember as a child, and it wasn't particularly... I remember saying to myself, I'm so embarrassed in front of God about what I just did.
That's great.
That's right.
So you got to get a...
such a religious... But yet,
If you feel the connection...
Maybe because I grew up with Holocaust parents, so that God was spoken about a lot.
Okay. Yeah. If God is a topic, if we're not afraid, to talk about, to talk at the table and then talk with her about the things that happened. We even had Hashgacha Pratis story from our cleaning lady this week at our table.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out. Did she really get Hashgacha Pratis?
Right. That was my. She had a Hashgacha. She was telling us this amazing thing that happened in
her, with her husband.
Whatever. Yeah. It was a. Okay. We would call it Hashgacha Brother story. So I
would have been like, whoa.
As the technical, cynical one, I pointed out it's not so. She does believe in God.
She does not?
She does. But it happens to be it's not so simple that Goyim have Hashgacha Brother. Whatever. It's a bigger discussion. It's a machlokas we've shown him.
That's why she's working for you.
She tells everybody that I helped the rabbi get ready for Shabbos.
She's
very proud of coming on Friday afternoon helping the rabbi get ready for Shabbos. And she loves Purim.
Right.
she's a.
You know what? It's interesting how Gentiles will do that. We once befriended someone on the lake, and they told us they were the Shabbos guy for Rabbi Feinstein from the east side. You know, and you could tell, I could see why Rabbi Feinstein chose him. Right. What a fine human being he was.
Right. Okay, so again, I think the idea is, I don't know if we'll start the next parak at this point, but I think the idea is to appreciate it again is that finding the time to think right. Specifically about this point
and
to revisit
it. If
we
really feel like Hashem's with us, and then we're going to act.
Right, if we remind ourselves, and if we think while we're in the car, while we're on the bike, or whatever else it is,
whatever that is that pulls them, and I think for everybody it's something else, whatever that imaginary tale is, sometimes we impose these things, like the person who sneezes or coughs from one end of the room, and you're starting having a hypochondriac, reactions to it. That if whatever that thing is for each one of us, to grab onto it.
100%. 100%. That's what he's giving Mishalim that work if you don't have your own. If you have your own that do it, that's great. But beyond the Mishalim, he's also suggesting just, every so often, just think, Ki atayim adi, you're with me. And the repetition in your mind that will have an impact, and you'll act differently, and your relationship with the spouse will be different, and your relationship with your kids will be different, and for the better, and it will change. It will have Bezras Hashem will have its effect. Okay, what to think about, what to do? Good.
Are we maybe for the next couple of weeks for Pesach?
We have to prepare for Pesach. We just said, didn't we?